Hello, listeners, and welcome to Travel in Motion's podcast series. As an airline industry consultancy focused on digital retailing, NDC, and distribution-related topics, we were interested to find out how the vendors in this space are supporting the airlines in these difficult times of COVID-19. In this series, we talk about airline distribution. Where are we headed? Throughout September 2020, we were able to interview five distinguished personalities. They all represent well-known airline industry solution providers which focus on airline digital retailing. From the interviews, we got a lot of very good insights and interesting views on the effects of the global pandemic on the airlines and the vendors. But don't take our word for it. Listen yourself. The third of five podcasts is a conversation with Brian Porter, Chief Commercial Officer at OpenJaw Technologies. OpenJaw has been able to mark some serious success in the past 12 months, and with a stronghold in China through TravelSky's ownership, has seen how fast recovery can go. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot for taking your time today to join us in our podcast series on airline distribution. Where are we headed? It's a pleasure to have you with me today for the next quarter of an hour. Are you ready?
I am, and thanks for having me, Daniel. It's good to talk again. The sun's just come out here in Dublin, so I only wish we were having this conversation over a pint.
I wish we were, and I wish it'd be back all to face-to-face as usual. So, Brian, can I ask you to briefly introduce yourself and OpenJaw to our listeners?
Yeah, sure, Daniel. Well, my name's Brian Porter. I'm Chief Commercial Officer at OpenJaw Technologies. OpenJaw's mission is to help airlines to become better retailers. Our core platform is T-Retail, which enables airlines to merchandise and distribute their products and ancillaries through e-commerce channels as well as NDC. And we've also recently extended our portfolio by building out our customer data platform, T-Data, with a focus on data-driven dynamic offers, and our conversational chat solution, T-Social, for selling and servicing at scale.
Great. Thanks for that introduction. Let's dive into the questions, shall we? And I hope we hear the context of some of those new products then as well. With the whole COVID crisis that we're going through, what's been the effect on your company?
Well, Daniel, I'd be lying if I said it hasn't been profound. You know, I think it deserves quite a detailed answer. You know, OpenJaw entered 2020 well-positioned for growth. You know, this was based off a solid investment in our platform, in our retail capabilities in terms of NDC, in terms of data, and in terms of user experience. You know, and as we started the year, we had a strong pipeline of opportunities. Unfortunately, the impact of COVID-19 has meant that many of the planned initiatives that we had with our customers and our prospects were suddenly delayed or cancelled or curtailed. As a result, we've had to say goodbye to some of our new colleagues as we've moved to right-size the business. I suppose on the positive side, you know, through the current crisis, we've learned a lot about ourselves. You know, we've learned that we've got a lot of resilience in the business in the face of change. We've certainly learned how to work from home and, you know, how to trust our colleagues to manage their time and focus on output. And I think, you know, across the business, we've all become better communicators, you know, mostly out of necessity, you know, and found new ways of collaborating. I think that, you know, I can't actually believe that it's September already, but, you know, as I reflect on the year to date, you know, we've made a success of this new way of working. You know, we've completed a major customer go live with all of our staff delivering from remote working. We've won three new customers and we've completed a contract for a big new transformation project for one of our existing customers. So, you know, as we reflect on where we are to date, it's been a tough time to get here, but I think we're well positioned now.
Brian, I mean, with all of this change and both within your own company affected by this, but also within the whole industry, are you seeing a change of the retail behavior from, well, I mean, mainly from your airline customers, but I guess in the industry as a whole?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I think if we take a look back at sort of the dawn of the crisis, I think retail and retailing initially took a back seat. You know, the focus was immediately on health, hygiene and safety, you know, and also, you know, how airlines could essentially, you know, right size themselves. But I think that the focus as we've moved on from that has moved more towards product attributes and merchandising. You know, I think that reassurance has really become the watchword for recovery. And airlines are looking to stimulate demand through initiatives that allow customers to do things like buy out the middle seat and bundle travel insurance. I think for our customers as well, you know, one of the things that we've seen, Daniel, is a big focus on loyalty. And I think that as we move forward, this is going to emerge as a key driver in recovery. If we think about it, loyalty essentially enables airlines to drive consumption through value-based promotional activity rather than just price. So there's the ability in that to, maximize load factor without sacrificing yield. I think that, one of the other things that we've seen is that, while our customers have seen flight demand decimated, interestingly, ground ancillaries have proven more resilient. We see flight bookings at a fraction of the 2019 levels, although there's been some recovery to date. But some of our key customers have seen a far more positive uptick in hotel and car bookings over the past few months to around about 50% of 2019 levels, which certainly supports an argument for revenue diversification.
I think that's a very interesting point, and it leads me nicely into where I'd like to go next with this conversation, and that's about the opportunities you see for airlines. And I'm kind of wondering, does that mean that the airlines perhaps need to focus a little more on working collaboratively with some of these hotels and car and ground transportation providers to find a joint opportunity moving forward?
Look, I think so. I think in terms of what we've seen airlines looking at, there's been a big focus on core operations, on cost containment, and building out models to better understand what a recovery could look like. But, I think that, if we take a step back, I think it's never been more important for the airline to essentially take back control of the offer. For me, this means aligning the sales and marketing teams with the distribution teams to achieve a tighter alliance. And I think that this gives you the opportunity, to put the right offer in front of the right customer in the right channel. And to your point, that gives the airlines the opportunity to essentially bundle based on the demands of the customer and cater towards a broader part of the travel itinerary.
Are there other opportunities that we see for the airlines, or are they really faced more with challenges than anything else?
Look, I think challenge is the root of opportunity, Daniel. For us, if we take a look at, what airlines are facing, what does every airline want to do? They want to take a look at how they can contain their costs and how they can maximize yield. So, I think that NDC, is still a fundamental for that. It'll enable airlines to achieve huge cost savings through disintermediation. And by presenting appropriate offers in each channel, they'll be able to maximize yield through, ancillary sales and through differentiating the offer in those channels. I think the other thing that we've seen, and perhaps this is a broader opportunity for collaboration rather than an opportunity just for the airlines, If we realistic about it and take a look at what's happened over the last couple of months, airlines have cut their own IT and engineering staff as they've focused on core operations. And I think that this makes vendor partnerships with companies like OpenJaw all the more critical, as airlines look to identify platform solutions to power both their own channel distribution as well as third-party channel distribution.
I think you're right. I think there are some partnership opportunities in the pipeline for that. What about NDC and OneOrder? You touched on NDC very briefly, and you also said at the beginning of this chat that, airlines might be stopping their projects, so they need to rethink where they're investing as well. What does this mean for the dynamics of NDC and the dynamics of where OneOrder was going pre-COVID to where it will go and at which pace it will move forward now?
Yeah, absolutely. Important question, Daniel. I'll start by giving you my view on NDC and then move to OneOrder, if that's all right. As I alluded to previously, I think the fundamentals for NDC remain unchanged. And if anything, the case for NDC has been strengthened by what we've seen over the crisis. And for me, that means that, airlines can control the offer, but by controlling the offer, they can ensure that they focus on merchandising those product attributes that drive consumption. And this gives the airlines the opportunity to better differentiate their offers in the appropriate channels. So what I mean by that is, we spoke about reassurance being the watchword for recovery, and by driving product attributes that speak to the purchasing behaviors of the customer, that's something that gives the airlines a lot of power. And it's only by controlling the offer across all channels that they're able to do that. I think one of the other points that we mentioned earlier was, lowering distribution costs, and this has obviously been, one of the big promises of NDC, but, it doesn't necessarily just amount to cost savings for the airlines, but by lowering distribution costs, the lower overall prices can be passed over to the customer so that it can effectively be used to drive consumption. And I think that, you know, finally, you know, NDC also supports an airline's quest to ensure a consistent offer display across all distribution channels. And by doing this, it essentially opens up new channels to ancillary revenue streams. So across that, there's an opportunity for airlines through NDC to effectively lower or contain their distribution costs while simultaneously maximizing yield by effectively opening up new ancillary revenue streams across all channels. In terms of OneOrder, I think OneOrder is still a little behind NDC in terms of development and adoption. You know, through an OMS like ours, in terms of our T-retail platform, you know, we've got the capability to deliver OneOrder. And OpenJaw has been working with the OneOrder working groups and helping build out the API messaging. But the reality is that we're actively looking for an airline partner to deliver this capability with. I think if we take a look at it, I mean, for me, one of the biggest challenges that we have with OneOrder is the amount of partner collaboration that's required to deliver an end-to-end solution. I mean, there's so many airline processes that effectively hang off the PSS and rely on the creation of traditional documents. And I think as OneOrder moves to become the central source of truth for the order within the OMS, and, you know, the legacy documents are no longer created within the PSS, there's still a need for all of those legacy processes to be recreated, albeit in a simplified and more efficient manner. You know, and you know, in terms of this, a big bang approach just won't work here, as all those legacy processes need to be replaced gradually over time with more efficient versions, you know, until eventually we reach a stage where we move beyond the PNR, the e-ticket, and the EMD.
So in essence, what I hear you say is that NDC, yes, absolutely, and it's still an opportunity. There's still a lot of room for growth, even with all of this. On OneOrder, there's a bit of a bigger challenge because there's much further to go still, and the focus there might not be on immediate benefit because we still have the parallel systems needing to run for a while yet. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we take a look at NDC, you know, a lot of the solution and the promise within NDC is, you know, technological and, you know, strategic in terms of finding new mechanics for distribution. But, you know, with OneOrder, I think that there's a process change required, you know, and I think that this, you know, is going to take time, you know, and it's a transition that needs to be properly managed between the vendor and the airline.
So looking at the situation that we're all in and some of the changes you've made and alluded to within your organization, are the things that you can do or that you are doing as OpenJaw to support the airlines, you know, based on the opportunities we've talked about or the overall challenges that they're having?
Yeah, I mean, you know, supporting the airlines has basically been the big focus over the past couple of months. You know, I mean, to be frank, you know, we've had to support our customers as they dial back on investment in the short term to see their way through the crisis. But I think over the long term, you know, we'll continue to focus on helping them to become better retailers and to deliver a better and more personalized service. You know, for OpenJaw, there's value creation in the market ahead, and we see ourselves as a key participant. You know, I think in terms of how we see ourselves, you know, OpenJaw is more of a long-term partner for our airlines rather than just a tech provider. And I think that's reflected in both our joint success commercial framework as well as our community approach to product evolution. But I think that, you know, this has taught both ourselves and our airline partners quite a lot, you know, and I think that we're learning new ways of adapting together. And going forward, I think that that's going to translate into our product investment. You know, we're going to need to focus on technology and solutions that effectively allow both ourselves and our airline partners to react more quickly to changing market conditions. You know, as well, we're working with some customers on some direct opportunities that they're seeing as a result of the current environment. You know, and I think that, you know, as great and as tactical as they are, I'm sure you can imagine that they're unique differentiators. So it would probably be a bit premature to give too much detail on those.
So that does lead me, though, to sort of asking, I mean, some of these shorter term changes and tactical changes, but all in all, what does that mean, or how does it influence your strategy, or, you know, the company's strategy in terms of product and where you're going, potential growth, all those kind of things?
Look, I mean, I think that in terms of our strategic approach, you know, I mentioned that we've got a community-based approach to product evolution. You know, I think that the cycles that we've had in terms of how we engage with our customers have definitely shortened. As we move to see how we can actually accommodate, you know, some more tactical changes in terms of our platform evolution. But I think ultimately, you know, what I mentioned earlier in terms of the fundamentals staying the same, you know, we'll continue to build out our core NDC capability and extending our merchandising capabilities in terms of the offer. And I think that, you know, we've been building out a lot of functionality in terms of our T-Data customer data platform. And we see that as being a key component to the differentiation that we can provide our airline partners in terms of dynamic offer construction. So that's another key aspect. I did mention earlier that, you know, loyalty is a big vertical for us, you know, and we're definitely going to be expanding on our capabilities in terms of flight accrual and redemption and how that aligns with retailing. And developing out our digital experience. So, you know, we've got a mobile responsive user experience that actually enables those selling flows. You know, and then I mentioned also that, you know, we're actively looking for an airline partner on one order. You know, we don't see this necessarily as just a technological change. I think that that's the easy part. You know, it's really about how we actually partner to deliver value in terms of process change. And then ultimately, you know, we've got a triangular vision. You know, the core retailing platform will continue to empower the airline as a retailer. But then in terms of our customer data platform, we're focusing on building out our capabilities in terms of driving customer centricity for travel. And then we've also, I mentioned that we've been investing in our chat solution, T-Social. You know, and the initial model that we're currently working on rolling out with one of our airline partners pretty much focuses on alleviating pressure on the call center. But ultimately, we want to integrate this functionality with what we're building out in terms of NDC so that effectively it enables selling and servicing at scale.
Closing this off, Brian, let me know what is your key learning from this crisis, you know, either, you know, personal or from a business perspective for yourself and for Openjaw?
That's an excellent question. I think for me, it's adaptability, Daniel, and the ability to cope through change and, you know, prosper through change. I think that, you know, we've seen strong support from our stakeholders, and, you know, that's been more important than ever, you know, and that is our customers, our employees, and our shareholder, you know, and the levels of communication that have been enabled and the channels for communication that have opened up through this have been, you know, really quite astounding, you know, and it's changed the way that we engage. You know, we all hear about the new normal without talking about what that actually means. But for us, it's constantly looking forward, you know, developing scenarios and using scenario planning to basically make sense of the uncertainty, you know, and identify strategies based on how we think things might play out.
No, I was going to say, I think I like that, you know, that just that first word you used, you know, adaptability, that really encapsulates what we all kind of need to look at, right, and to embrace constantly now, because we don't know what is next week, right? We don't know what is in 2 weeks. And I think that adaptability personally and from a business perspective is absolutely key, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the only constant is change. So we've got to find the courage to embrace it, you know, and I think for me, that means, you know, constantly learning and upskilling on a personal basis, but also finding ways for the company to adapt to new ways of working, you know, and for us, you know, being prepared to try, you know, and fail, you know, it means we must fail fast and try again. But yeah, adaptability is key.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Well, listen, Brian, our time is already up, but thank you so much for taking your time to speak with me. I got a lot of, you know, valuable insight from this. I think it's really interesting. And I'm looking forward to getting some industry feedback from this in the next few weeks and see, you know, what the rest of the industry thinks as well.
Daniel, always a pleasure. And, you know, look forward to hearing the industry feedback too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And all the best to you and to Openjaw in the coming months.
Yeah, and you take care, Daniel.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Brian.
Travel in Motion thanks you for listening, and we hope you found the podcast interesting. If you have any questions or need support with your digital strategies and transformation, feel free to get in touch via our website, LinkedIn, or via info@travelinmotion.ch. That's info@travelinmotion.ch.